There is a thing called the blood feud. All societies have them. Even the West Saxons have them, despite their vaunted piety. Kill a member of my family and I shall kill one of yours. And so it goes on, generation after generation, or until one family is all dead. And Kjartan had just wished a blood feud on himself. I did not know how. I did not know where. I could not know when, but I would revenge Ragnar. I swore it that night. And I became rich that night. Breda waited until the English folk were gone, and then she led me to the burned remnants of Eldwulf's forge, and she showed me the vast piece of scorched elm, a section of a tree's trunk that had held Eldwulf's anvil. "We must move that," she said. It took both of us to tip over that monstrous piece of elm, and beneath it was nothing but earth. But Breda told me to dig there, and for want of other tools I used wasp sting, and had only gone down a handbreadth when I struck metal. Gold. Real gold. Coins and small lumps. The coins were strange, incised with a writing I had never seen before. Neither Danish runes nor English letters. But something weird that I later learned came from the people far away who live in the desert and worship a god called Allah, who I think must be a god of fire, because Al, in our English tongue, means burning. There are so many gods, but those folk who worshipped Allah made good coin, and that night we unearthed 48 of them, and as much again in loose gold. And Breda told me she had watched Ragnar and Eldwulf bury the hoard one night. There was gold, silver pennies, and 4 pieces of jet, and doubtless this was the treasure Kjartan had expected to find, for he knew Ragnar was wealthy, but Ragnar had hidden it well. All men hide a reserve of wealth for the day when disaster comes. I have buried hoards in my time, and even forgot where one was, and perhaps, years from now, some lucky man will find it. That hoard, Ragnar's hoard, belonged to his eldest son. But Ragnar, it was strange to think he was just Ragnar now, no longer Ragnar the Younger, was far away in Ireland. And I doubted he was even alive, for Kjartan would surely have sent men to kill him. But alive or dead, he was not here, and so we took the hoard. "What do we do?" Breda asked that night. We were back in the woods. I already knew what we would do. Perhaps I had always known. I am an Englishman of England, but I had been a Dane while Ragnar was alive, for Ragnar loved me and cared for me and called me his son. But Ragnar was dead, and I had no other friends among the Danes. I had no friends among the English, for that matter, except for Breda, of course. And unless I counted Beoka, who was certainly fond of me in a complicated way, but the English were my folk, and I think I had known that ever since the moment at Aesk's Hill, where for the first time I saw Englishmen beat Danes. I had felt pride then. Destiny is all, and the spinners touched me at Aesk's Hill, and now at last I would respond to their touch. "We go south," I said. "To a nunnery?" Breda asked, thinking of Elswith and her bitter ambitions. "No. I had no wish to join Alfred and learn to read and bruise my knees with praying. I have relatives in Mercia," I said. I had never met them, knew nothing of them, but they were family, and family has its obligations. And the Danish hold on Mercia was looser than elsewhere. And perhaps I could find a home, and I would not be a burden because I carried gold. I had said I knew what I would do, but that is not wholly true. The truth is that I was in a well of misery, tempted to despair, and with tears ever close to my eyes. I wanted life to go on as before, to have Ragnar as my father, to feast and to laugh. But destiny grips us, and the next morning in a soft winter rain we buried the dead, paid silver coins, and then walked southward. We were a boy on the edge of being a grown man, a girl and a dog, and we were going to nowhere.